Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. Like always, God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Every word He speaks, everything He does, like we said in the previous broadcast, it takes us to greater understanding. It helps us understand God's will and purpose. And our purpose is to grow. Our purpose is to, if we follow God, we'll live a pattern of good works. And God loves us. And the Lord taught Ray Wilson that our purpose is to grow and learn. And when we grow and learn of God, we automatically do the greater things of heaven. This process will happen until Jesus returns. Now, potentially, we can make it like heaven on earth. But that's not probable completely, because so many people are not willing to go forward. Even in the house of God, even in the kingdom of God, there are people who are weak, there are people who are immature, there are people who lack knowledge. So the world looks like it does, but it could operate precisely like heaven does, and it could become as beautiful. And that may seem like a far stretch, but remember, when God is in it and man is willing, a lot of good things can happen. And God don't, even though it could be that way, God won't override our will and make us do anything. See, the kingdom of heaven is everybody in the kingdom of heaven, that's a volunteer army. That's a volunteer kingdom. They are in there because that's where they want to be. Now, there's no other place to go except hell if you want to be in the other kingdom. And nobody wants to be there. But guys, hell is not a threat. It's a fact. See, sin can't operate in God's kingdom. There's no place for sin in the kingdom of God. Just like there's no place for cancer in your body. Nobody wants a little bit of cancer. They'd rather have no cancer if they got good sense. Because a little bit of cancer will turn into a whole lot of cancer. Just like a little bit of yeast will turn a whole lump, a whole barrel of flour into yeast. Sin is an infection. So in order to get rid of sin, he has to get rid of those who love it. Because they carry it. And they keep it going. And it always hardens their heart against God and all of His principles. And see, the world, they don't know these things. So they think that sin has no consequence. But remember, the average lifespan of man is around 70 years old. And some people may live to be 100, I know that. But the average lifespan is under 100 years old, and usually around 70 years old. So by the time they figure it out, they'll be about dead. Because sin has consequences. It hardens your heart against the things of God. And it carries you to a dark place, even on this side of life. Whether you're 6 feet up or 6 feet down, sin will kill you. And it will cause your life to be miserable. It's not to be trusted. Sometimes people would rather trust a lie than the truth. People can build airplanes, rockets, cars, trucks. They can build skyscrapers. And they desire to believe in evolution. And I'm going to make a bold statement. Nobody truly believes in evolution. That's foolishness. No matter how you put it, it's too many holes in that bag. It won't hold water. It won't hold anything. It won't hold up. And it definitely won't hold out. Now, everybody in hell, they know who Jesus is. The people who once thought that there was no devil, they know there's a devil, and many of them. and they know God loved them, and they know Jesus died for them, even the most hard-hearted people. And they beg him to come back. They beg him to let him come out of there, and he can't do it. They're not his property. They would not be his. They refuse to be the child of God on earth. And now that they're on the wrong side, they're stuck. And Jesus, even nobody can get them. I can't get them out. You can't pray people out of purgatory. And you can't pray. All these lies the devil came up, there is no purgatory. If you were taught that, you would just talk wrong. But the only place between heaven and hell is earth. And you want to be right with God. It's because you can be through Jesus Christ. And I thank God for that. And I want my life to represent the Lord in all ways, in all forms. And I want people to know what they can receive and also what they're rejecting. I want them to know the life that they're rejecting. That's why the devil don't want our lives to work. The word of God comes to us in seed form, and it starts a healing process. I've said that many times. And it gets in your destiny. You know, if your eye be full of light, your whole, if your eye be single, if you love God, your whole body will be full of light. And the last broadcast we talked about how when you look to Jesus, even your problems become very small. And when you look at the challenges of life, always consider what Jesus said while you're looking at the challenge. Whatever's challenging you, consider God's ways until that faith becomes manifested on the ground where you are. Till the facts in your body are changed, till the facts around you are the way they should be. Because that's what God, you know, the Lord, he gave us good things, good gifts. You don't have to fear. Fear is a surrendering belief. And it surrenders to evil. It surrenders to whatever you think is greater than you. You don't have to fear situations. In the face of a fearful situation, don't look at that. Look, consider the Lord. In Jesus' challenge, he considered the word. He was challenged again, he considered the word. He always spoke the word. That's what he went by. And then the enemy challenged him one last time, and he spoke the word and won. And angels came and ministered to him. And he began his ministry. He began to do the greater works of God after that. Because God won't, he don't send people out until they're ready. You have to be able to conquer Satan. Sometimes people are smart enough to do a work of God. They pray to do it, they want to do it. But they're gonna have to also conquer Satan in their life first. And if you get out there and Satan trip you up somewhere, you can take a lot of other people down, even unintentionally. So it's good to have foundation. Don't try to rush the foundation process of God's love, because he's going to prepare you. And he's going to train you for what's out there. Now, he'll show you enough for you to. He does it individually. I don't know how he'll do it for you, but he did it for me. He let me run into what was out there. I thought things would be one way, but it was totally different. And I explained in another broadcast how there were things going on in the church that I didn't know about. So I didn't know to watch out for. He let me find out for myself. And it was concerning following God, how people love their will more than his. And it takes courage to live according to his perfect will. And boldness. And it definitely takes faith. And without faith, it's impossible. But see, faith helps us get out of inadequacy. It takes us beyond the limitations of this world, even gravity. Remember, Jesus, not only did he walk on water, he ascended. According to the purpose of God, you can override the rudiments and measures of this world. It's awesome. It's a blessing. And the Lord takes us far. We can go far in him. We can do the greater works. We can live a greater life. And we can go forward in the Lord. Now, whatever people receive in their heart, it gets into their countenance. Even the way they carry themselves, the way they walk. There's a walking track that I pass on my way to work sometime. And there was a lady out there walking. And she had a determined strut. She was walking as if she believed in what she was doing. She knew that her exercising was going to benefit her. And she walked like she meant business. And it made me think about what the Lord taught me one time, that whatever's in your heart, it gets in your countenance. And I said, it even gets in the way you walk. And I thought about people that I know and how they walk. And I thought about my pastor. I said, he loves victory, and he walks as if he has victory. Wherever he's going, it's like he knows he's going to be fine. Even when challenged, he knows his walk is the same. Because victory gets in your, if it gets in your countenance, it gets in your strut. People not only act like they feel inside, but they carry themselves the way they feel on the inside. Whether it's good or whether it's bad. Some people know that they can prosper and they walk like it. They expect it. They expect no different. Some people walk like they're challenged in life. Some people walk like they've been treated unfairly. And some people even walk like they get over on people. So, if you're looking to the Lord and his love gets in your countenance, you're going to look that way. It's going to be obvious. It is very recognizable. And the more you love God, the more it gets in your countenance. It automatically does. And then it gets in your speech. And then when you speak things by faith, it takes you to a greater level. It gets in your life. And when it gets in your life, it gets in your actions. It's there. It gets in your strut, the way you walk, the way you run. Every good thing happens because you've received the word of God. And you've chosen to love God and be honest with him. And you may not feel perfect. Sometimes you may not even feel like a good person. But if you can be honest with God, he can work with you. If you can follow him, if you can look at him. See, what we're believing God for is not just the things we want in life, not just a better life, not just safety. I have had to believe God so that I could hate things that were sinful. I have had to believe God to overcome struggles. And it worked. So I was happy it worked. So I preach it. And I preach whatever the Lord gave me to put on my heart, that's what I'll say. And I thank Him that I have references to help others. When people get in sin, they feel isolated, like nobody's doing this but you. Nobody's thinking this way but you, but that's not the way it is. In all points, everybody is tempted with similar things. It's the same, you know, other people, in the book of Philippians, it talked about how, I think it was the book of Philippians, it talked about how other brothers have the same situation in the world. I'm not quoting it, just making a reference to it. I have to find it. I don't know exactly where it is, but I think it's in Philippians chapter 1 or 2. But other people share the same problems that you have. Whether it's a common problem, private problem, people have the same challenges in every generation. And I desire that people know how to conquer every temptation of Satan, every distraction. See, a temptation is he's trying to get you off track. He's trying to lure you out there with evil bait that looks good. A distraction, he's trying to make a problem look bigger than God. He's trying to make the way you feel seem greater than God to you in your eyes. But the Word of God puts everything in its proper place. In other words, a lie will be known as a lie. Now, in this life, lies can seem real good, even evolution. See, evolution takes away the responsibility you have towards God. With evolution, you can do what you think is right. That's why people put up with it. Nobody really believes that. But because they don't have a relationship with God, they think that He's not. And sometimes they desire to think that He's not so that they can be in control. And if they get in control, they don't have to answer for their actions. So a lie can seem good if your motives are toward the end game of it. If you got false motives, you're gonna like false lies to go with it. False realities are attractive when you have the wrong motive. But when you're trying to do the right thing and you want to do the right thing, you're glad you can answer to God. You're glad that He's there to help you. And He's not just there watching to see if you're going to do right. He's there to help you do right for your own good. See, doing right is not just, you're not just doing right to please God. It's a way of life. And that's what many people don't realize. The laws of sowing and reaping are already in operation. The only way to benefit from those laws is to do the right thing. Do you realize that if you live a pattern of failure, and whether it was by choice, by accident, or whatever, that's bad for you because you got to reap the deeds you sow. Even if you get saved, you're still going to reap what you sow. Some people are going to get saved and they're going to die because they did wrong a long time. And they're not going to live a long time. Their life is interrupted by their sin. But I thought our sins were forgiven. They are forgiven. And Jesus paid your sin debt. But while you were sinning, you were also sinning this sowing. And you still got to reap it. Now, let me put it this way. I've seen this happen over the years. People sold drugs for many years. people, and it marred people's lives, those drugs did. And they knew that it would, and they did it anyway. So they were involved with other people's demise. Then somebody tell them about the gospel and they get saved. All right. God save them. They get called to preach. They preach. And then their life is cut short because other people's lives were cut short. Even though God forgave them, the laws of sowing and reaping are still in effect. It's the same thing if you get saved and then you pay tithes, offerings, and you contribute. Well, spiritual wealth gets on your life. Now, when they begin to preach and they turn from darkness and they start doing right, spiritual wealth began to get on their life, but there was also spiritual debt against their life. And the only way they could live longer than they live longer than they would have, and they live better than they would have if they didn't get saved. See, the laws of sowing and reaping, they are fair. You're going to get what, it's going to work according to life, just like it always for everybody. The same, see, God has laws of sowing and reaping. He operates under those laws. So if he operates under those laws, we're made in his image, it's going to affect us too. And sin don't just stop with sin. It affects your opinions. It affects the way you think. And getting rid of it is good for you. And the Lord, he's not just trying to help you please him. He's trying to help you thrive in this life. He said those things for our betterment. He can't have sin in his kingdom. That's already decided. Sin is already judged. Now, the position that God has taken is he's trying to help us get out of this thing alive for our sake. And we're welcome to come to the kingdom of God and leave our sins alone. That's a real good deal. He's going to forgive you of everything you've done, and you get to live forever. And from the day you first get saved, your life starts healing. But don't be afraid of what you've done. Don't be afraid. Don't fear the past. Paul put Christians in jail. He got put in jail. Everywhere he went, they put him in jail. Revivals broke out, but you're going to see the patterns of sowing and reaping everywhere you look in the Word of God. And God, he was able to restore people and bless people regardless. Eventually. When David, committed adultery, had Bathsheba's husband killed, Uriah the Hittite, and then he married her. They had a child. That child died. David interceded for the child, but the child died because spiritual debt was on his life. And then they had Solomon. But the kingdom was rent from him. And David cried. He cried out to the Lord, and the kingdom was divided in the days of Solomon's son, Rehoboam. Ten tribes were given to Jeroboam. Because of David's sin. If David didn't sin, Israel wouldn't have had two kings. They would have been under Judah, like it was supposed to be. But David sinned, and God couldn't change that. That was irreversible, because the laws of sowing and reaping are in effect. But thanks be to God, we can receive God's best and go forward in this life. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.